Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again, time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, joined again in studio by my trusty executive director, John Schneider, an Olympian of the executive directors.
Wow.
We also have our fabulous producer, dazzling dandy Daryl Grandy. Daryl, I appreciate everything you do to take and get the messages that we carry from here out to our listeners.
Well,
thank you
Sam.
For joining us.
Thank you, Sam, very much.
And folks, we are going to have a great show for you today. And I tell you that because, I mean, my gosh, John, we were across the street and, we're getting on our way to come walking over to the studio to do the show. And he asked me, he said, "Hey, are you okay?" And I just looked at him and said, "No." and he started laughing and he said, "Well, at least you're honest." And folks, do you feel like I do? So many things are taking place. They're happening so fast. The information is just flowing and coming out. I mean, where do we go from here? So we have a great show, as I said, because our guest in studio today is a good friend of the show. He's been on before, and he had a prediction here the last time he was on the show that came true, and I agreed with him. So together, Keith, we're going to have to share the title of the Nostradamus. Green Tree, all right? But we have Keith Schmidt, principal of Bridge Connections, is here with us today. And Keith, as I've shared previously, has consulted on dozens of political races since the early 1980s. Those included presidential, gubernatorial, senatorial, congressional, legislative, and judicial campaigns. Keith's primary focus has been on the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and Keith was a key component of the Rocky campaign last year and assisted us a great deal in helping to try to get Joe Rocky elected to be county executive. But Keith, thanks for coming back. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's going to be a barn burner of a show, I can tell you. And I'm like a victim. When the crazier it gets nationally, the more likely I'm going to get a call. So so thanks for putting me in the center square again today with a bullseye.
Hey, we reached out to Paul Lind, but he didn't return the call.
Yeah, dead men don't... don't do radio.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Paul Lind, by the way, just an editorial comment.
I enjoyed him on the Hollywood Squares as well. Hey, we're dating ourselves from an age perspective here, for many of our listeners.
We are indeed.
But hey, folks, the last time Keith was on the show, we were talking about it. And, he made the prediction that Joe Biden was not going to be the nominee here for the Democrats. And I agreed. It was 50-50. We thought that he was going to be dropping out. And lo and behold, he has. And the Democrats have anointed Kamala Harris, vice president, airhead extraordinaire, to be their nominee. And on top of that, recently she picked last Tuesday Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, who we're going to talk a lot about him as we move forward. But Keith, hey, congratulations on being right, my friend.
Well, let me tell you, as early as the spring of last year, I have been throwing this out time and time again for over, I would say, year and a half. They said I was crazy back then, but I really continued that mantra for almost 16 to 18 months that I said, when push comes to shove, they will not re-nominate the president. And that's largely, to be honest with you, was from personal experience and my knowledge of the sitting president. I mean, I'm lucky enough to say I've met a lot of president and vice presidents in my lifetime, but none have I spent more time with than the current president as a United States senator, times as vice president, and in his current role. And so I saw the difference. I saw him over a great period of time. I used to go to picnics with Whit Chonick, a big Democrat who was related to Mark Single. He'd come in for the picnic with his wife in Johnstown year after year. And I'd sit at a picnic table with him, spend hours with him. And I never agreed with him on almost 99% of the time. But he was a dynamic guy. He'd put your arm around you and have two conversations going. He'd go from subject to subject, speak without notes. All those things were ebbing away, and we saw. I saw as early as I said a year and a half ago, him being managed, him not talking on the way to the helicopter or the plane. Everything that is a prepared statement, no press conferences. I saw his gait change. I saw the glare in his eye sometimes, and I noticed it seemed like he was being manipulated.
Well, how many times did he say, "They're going to yell at me"?
Right? Yeah.
They're going to get mad at me.
That's so funny. Okay. I mean, we heard that time and time again.
That tells you someone else was controlling him or scripting this stuff. But, so we knew that.
But can I mean just throw a short story? And it's sure. probably out of order of what we're going to be talking about. But and I know we're going to get to Kamala Harris. You know, not one person cast a ballot in the primary for her. But she's now their nominee. I get it all. And they're all telling us now all of a sudden they're rebranding her. You know, before she became the nominee, only 33% of Democrats had a favorable opinion exactly. on her. I mean, it's amazing. Like, it's like, what the yeah. hell just happened?
Now all of a sudden she's, you know,
I mean, I get there's
campaign
some
campaign of joy.
There's some thrill in the fact that with the president standing down, rightfully so, that they knew the outcome there was certain. So maybe just the fact that of someone exiting, they're just glad because there's a chance, maybe they think. But this whole salesmanship of telling me that she's the proverbial greatest thing since sliced bread. But when I get into the debates, and I had one a week or two ago, right after she was nominated, I said, guys, all right, let me explain something to her. I said, if George W. Bush showed this type of capacity for almost 2 years, like the president, forget people's names, confused, you know, didn't seem like to know what was going on. I said, everybody in America would say the same thing. Dick Cheney's running the government. I said, yeah. Nobody in the last 2 years told me that Kamala Harris and even Democrats was running the country. They said Jill was. They said Obama was. They said the West Wing were. They dismissed her. They did not think that she had the capacity or was a significant enough person in this administration that they'd even say she's running the country. Did you ever hear that?
Well, no, but I will say I don't think she's running the country.
Well, she wasn't. But my point is, not even Democrats at that time dismissed her, and all of a sudden they're telling her, oh, she's the greatest.
Right.
Well,
right.
At a time when everybody in America would have said Dick Cheney's running, nobody even suggested her because they realized she was a failed border czar who was literally kind of put in the corner in this administration, and they worked around her. And now all of a sudden they're going to tell us a different story. I think it's a bunch of BS. And as I always say, an educated vote is our best customer, Sam. The more they know about her in the next 3 months. The fact is she has been vice president for 3.5 years, but America still doesn't know her. And in the next 3 months, I will tell you, they'll peel away and peel away. And the more you know about her, the more I think the American electorate is going to be concerned. You're not going to find anything new about President Trump in the next 3 months that we haven't heard 100 times over in the last 8 years. But I can tell you, the more they know about Kamala, the less they're going to be likely to vote for her.
But see, here's the problem. Here's my concern, Keith, is, you know, and I'm not, listen, I'm the guy that, as an elected official here in my other role, try to be as responsible as possible in the things that I say. So I spend more time knocking down conspiracy theories sure. than I do taking and promoting them. But I have to say, it is positively Orwellian what the mainstream media is doing to erase her record. I mean, Axios was caught. The same writer, the reporter, going back 4 years ago to erase things that Harris had said about positions she had taken, you know, in the run-up to the election, to go back and erase that she had been appointed border czar where they used this. You have them going out there and they are scrubbing social media and other news articles. And you know, look, it's one thing to change how you take and cover someone or how you report on them. That's bad enough. But they're actually trying to change history.
Sure.
And that, to me, that is positively frightening. And for all the folks out there that do believe in conspiracies and things like this do nothing but promote them.
It's going to be on us to educate. I mean, the average American has too much information in front of them. And the average American, different than a generation or two ago when us two entered the political landscape, don't get into policy anymore. They just don't understand it. They it's a feel-good type of thing. Somebody makes them feel good or makes them feel a certain way, and they don't peel away the layers to get to know person. And it's going to be on us, because I can tell you they're going to do their best to brush this all under the rug, proverbially, or sweep it under the rug, because you're not going to want to know her history dating back to a prosecutor. I mean, look at the cases she did as a prosecutor. Look at the cases as attorney general. Look at the bills she sponsored in the United States Senate. And for that matter, look at her running mate. Look at what he did to his home state. Look at the progressive agenda that he implemented. Everybody, the progressives are great. Like I said, they seemingly are pretty good, because it should make us nervous that we literally have a progressive ticket on a mainstream party running for president and vice president of the United States. And pretty much the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen great success for progressives winning around the nation. But they've been in long enough that we're also able to scorecard their administrations or their cities or their counties, and they're failing across the board. progressive agenda that they have brought, to, especially to urban America, has been a complete and utter failure. And people have to be reminded of that.
Well, that's a trumpet that I've been blowing all throughout 2023 in the local races here for county executive and for district attorney. Because progressive policies, every place they've ever been tried, much like socialism and communism, has led to nothing but misery. And it's an abject failure. But yet, so many in the Democrat Party, and I'm not talking about moderates, I'm not talking about blue dog Democrats, but I'm talking about the extreme left, the members of the DSA, these true believers. And I got to say, this ticket, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, is full-blown socialist, if not positively communist. I mean, her remarks talking about equity, equality of outcome is what she's talking about. That's communism, folks.
We will not recognize America. They have doubled down. I mean, I really believe somebody more moderate, somebody more like a Biden, should find to balance her ticket. And quite frankly, she went – if it's hard to get to the left of a California liberal. And I would say on paper, as far as really what he's done to change a state in the union, he has done more for the progressive agenda than she's ever done. I mean, he's dangerously liberal. And for all the people that fear, oh, Trump is a megalomaniac, he's never going to – I know the devil you know. I know what Trump's going to do. I'm never going to like his bombastic approach. I'm not going to like how he makes a sausage. But in the end, his outcomes are something that I've appreciated in the past, and I think I'll appreciate it again in the future. But I'm telling you, folks, you're not going to recognize America in just 4 years if we allow them to successfully try to implement a socialist agenda that has failed miserably in places like Pittsburgh and around the country in urban environments and try to do it nationally. The funny thing is, Sam, it's all about everything you hear since this ticket's been announced. It's all the social stuff. It's all social agenda. It's their sense of connecting on that level with the American people. You don't hear anything about energy independence. You hear nothing about national security, the economy, the border, foreign affairs, because their record on all those things that really matter when you're electing a president, the things that we should really care about, aren't even talked about with them. Everything is implementing a new social agenda for the American people. And somehow that's a little more entertaining to people, but I hope they start doing their homework and realizing the southern border matters, foreign policy matters, the economy matters, national security matters, and these people are ill-prepared to serve in that capacity.
Well, Keith, when you have the tech sector heavily invested, in the Democrat Party and their agenda and against Republicans to the point that when you try to do a search on Google, if you put attempted assassination, and you started typing in TRU, it didn't bring up Trump, okay? They were hiding that. You would bring up, if you type in Trump rally, you'll get Kamala Harris information, okay? I mean, Trump stuff will be there, but it puts all this other stuff in front of it. It is really, I mean, again, positively Orwellian, when you have the media who's not asking her hard questions. I mean, you mentioned her being a California liberal. When she was a district attorney of San Francisco, she prosecuted and jailed over 1,500 people for marijuana possession. Was very proud of that, but you went on one of the talk shows when she was running for president and laughing about, having smoked marijuana. Said, are you kidding me? I'm from Jamaica, when asked if she had smoked it, okay? When she was the attorney general, she kept prisoners, inmates in California correctional facilities in past their release dates to use them as cheap labor for fighting California forest fires. Now, think about that. Here's somebody that's paid their debt to society, and has served their time, but she's kept them in there. You have cases where she took the death penalty off the table for folks that murdered police officers. So there's a whole bunch of stuff you could go after her from one time when she was the district attorney and attorney general of California. But let's go to where she is as the vice president. She says the other day, she's saying it every day, folks, because she's not able to speak extemporaneously or off the cuff. She's reading from a teleprompter, a scripted speech. But she's saying that when she gets elected president, She's going to fight inflation. That's going to be her day one priority. You've been in office for over 3.5 years.
Yeah, you can't run for them picking Kamala or deciding that they're going to stick with this administration. You can't run from all the woes of this administration. You're absolutely right. For the last 3.5 years, she was a partner with the president. She's the vice president of the United States. You can't run from the mess at the border. You can't run from the wars brewing, either brewing or actively engaging around the world in Ukraine, in the Middle East, provocative moves of China and Taiwan right now, North Korea always being a threat, you know, the shutdown of the energy pipelines and the fact that the gas and groceries now are getting to the point where people are using more credit than they've ever used in the past. Listen, we all agree that both the economy of the United States and the stability of the world has suffered greatly in the last 3.5 years. And she can't run from that. If people really want change, if people are aggravated with what's going on, they can't just change seats on the Titanic. She has to wear it. If they picked an entire new candidate, they could basically talk about a new agenda. She can't do that. She has to own what is happening in America and abroad. And quite frankly, this whitewashing, this fiction, this rewriting of history on her on her resume, on the media you mentioned, you could also say influencers, social media giants are doing the same. The Democratic establishment are doing the same. But let me tell you, even though the media is doing it, and the social media is doing it, and all the talking heads on the establishment are doing it, when I went to places in the last couple of weeks like Uniontown at a coffee shop, mm-hmm. and Beaver, and started conversations with average Joes, the Democrats, rank and file Democrats, they're basically saying, I don't know what the, like, where did she come from? I mean, she, yep. Basically, they gave me the talking points. She was a failed this. Nobody talked about her. She's the one, the reason that the border is the way it is, and we're giving free Social Security. They were angry. They said, I don't know who, that I don't recognize this, that my party's telling me that they love her. I'm a Democrat. I don't love her. And I heard that loud and clear in Uniontown. I heard that loud and clear in a beautiful town of Beaver, which is almost a Norman Rockwell town. They've done great things down there at the county seat in Beaver. And I was at a coffee shop that there's a gathering place there, and I just threw the question out there. What do you think? Let me tell you. And I asked all of them, all but two were Democrats. And they were like, they were scratching their head like, I don't know what they're selling me. You know, so I don't know that people are buying what they're selling. They're definitely selling it. It's the largest media campaign and marketing blitz I've seen in my political lifetime. But I think, as I said, 3 months is enough time. The more you know about Tim Holtz and the more you know about the Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris, the less you're going to like them. Even on Main Street, in rural America, in suburban America, it doesn't matter. I think Democrats and Republicans alike will realize that would be a dangerous turn for America to hand them the seat of power.
Well, I hope so. But while she's executing a repeat of the 2020 Joe Biden basement strategy,
yeah.
You know, she's going up in the polls, and no one's holding her accountable. You know, and you mentioned these things like on the economy. I mean, gas, you know, is 48% more expensive than it was. You know, rent is 22% more expensive than it was. Mortgage rates have more than doubled under what they were under former President Trump. You know, electricity and energy prices are up. You know, everywhere you turn, wages are not keeping up with inflation. I mean, when Donald Trump left office and turned the presidency over to Joe Biden back in January of 2021, the inflation rate was 1.4%.
Wow.
You know, under Biden, he immediately, put inflation on steroids when he passed the American Rescue Plan, a $1.9 trillion plan, of which Kamala Harris was a tie-breaking vote on that plan, okay? And that set inflation skyrocketing. It hit a high of over 9% in June of 2022. Now, they talk about inflation coming down. No, what's come down is the rate of inflation, but it's still over 3%, and the Fed's mission has always been to try to keep inflation at 2% annually or less.
Sure.
So people, the prices aren't coming down, and she has no answers. When she was asked about what would she do about inflation, she talked about how she knows that it's hurting people, but then she pivoted to talking about reproductive rights and referred to freedom, okay? Hakeem Jeffries yesterday puts out a tweet, you know, talking about how she represents a fresh start. She is the current vice president of the United States. has been in office for 3.5 years. Fresh start, she is responsible and shares all the responsibility because she said she's the last person in the room with Joe Biden on every decision for all the things that are ailing us.
Familiarity breeds contempt, and you have to be careful with this big bankroll they have right now. And even though I don't watch a lot of television, it's on as backroom noise or when you're getting ready in the morning or you see it at a restaurant or a bar. And I see the onslaught of money they're spending on commercials for Kamala Harris. But let me tell you, the problem is with that is, I mean, I've probably seen 150 commercials. And it's not lost on me that somehow, does everybody in America now realize 3.5 years as Vice President of the United States, her one accomplishment is she capped the price on insulin. I mean, because that's the only thing they talk about during her years as Vice President on every commercial I've ever watched.
But it was Trump that capped. Put a $35 cap on insulin.
Take that away from her. That's all she has.
Yes.
I mean, but literally, I'm thinking, isn't there anyone in the conference room saying, it's a little dangerous, that's a good thing, but that's the only thing we're going to talk about? Every time we talk about her time as vice president, there's not, I challenge you to tell me one other thing that they tell you that she accomplished as vice president. They give her that one, but nothing else. And if you think that's enough to say that she did a yeoman's job in her 3.5 years as the second most powerful person in the nation, you know, I really question. They're struggling to find something to give her credit for.
Look, I look at all the issues and I see, you know, when you see the polls, over 70% of the American people say that the country's headed in the wrong direction. Over 60% of the people in Pennsylvania, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Including economists.
Are living paycheck to paycheck.
100%.
Okay. We know we've had a slowdown. The stock market dropped over 1,000 points earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. You know, reports that you got on job growth in July only totaled 114,000. Unemployment rate rose to 4.3%. And what we've seen is, you know, despite these reports that you get coming out, we've seen continuous downward revisions in the data. So it looks like the Biden administration is even manipulating the data that's coming out. The only jobs that are really growing are government and healthcare jobs, okay? Private sector, manufacturing, they're not, you know, really growing here, and certainly not at the level they need to, all while they've let up to 15 million people cross the southern border into this country. Folks, we are facing some significant challenges, and we have a media out there that is not doing their job. And Keith, you know, when President Trump used to joke about calling the fake news the enemy of the people and all that kind of stuff, folks used to get, you know, all worked up and everything like that. But I'll tell you what, when you look at their failing to do their job, you know, they failed to adequately cover the fraud that was the Russia hoax. They failed to adequately cover the Joe Biden and his declining cognitive abilities, and now they're failing to cover this. I mean, they are not doing their job, and I'm just afraid, you know, that if they allow her to hide for the next 90 days, there are enough low-information voters out there.
No, we're going to have to buy it. I mean, they're going to help her hide, but that's why I said it's on us. It's on the Republican Party. It's on like-minded Democrats and Republicans to join forces to educate the people on really what this ticket means and what it would mean after they got elected to your quality of life and what you believe it, what you worship in your church, what you believe on Main Street, our position in the world. It's all at risk here. It's all at risk. And unfortunately, nothing's changed even with the president leaving in the sense of how we're at a boiling point. And I've felt the heat. I've felt the heat now for at least the last 2 years. I see the hate speech on both sides. And I'll say it comes on both sides. I'll be as critical as Republicans as Democrats. It's a polarizing time. We got a point where Trump could have moderated his position. He went with J.D. Vance. God bless him. He's thinking legacy. And he doesn't want this to be the Trump era. He wants to permanently change the direction of the Republican Party. I appreciate why he did it, but he went to the right. Kamala Harris clearly went to the left. There, we all talk about, oh, the MAGAs or the progressives on one side, the tail's wagging the dog in both parties. Well, not only is the tail wagging the dog in both parties, we are now we couldn't be a spectrum wider than we have right now. So there is no middle right now. And the fact is, it's not about if you're voting for Trump, you hate the other ticket. If you're voting for Kamala, you hate Trump. That's a dangerous position to be in. In my lifetime, I remember at picnics and gatherings, neighborhood gatherings and whatnot, when we're talking about the presidency, they say, hey, they're both okay, but I'm voting for X because here's the reason I'm voting for X. But if Y wins, I'm okay with that. You're not going to find that
anywhere in America, Sam.
Right.
We're at a point where neither side is going to be go home quietly and accept the outcome of this election, especially if it's as razor thin as it's starting to look like it could be in November.
Well, I have a lot of concerns, and I'm sharing many of them with our listeners on the show. But I think one of the big ones here is that as the media fails to do their job.
Oh yeah.
And she hides in the basement. The Trump campaign. I mean, former President Trump, I don't think he's helping himself, with some of his statements. We'll talk more about that right after the break. But I think we need to pivot and get back to policy and get back to talking about the things that he's going to do that'll address the problems that people are suffering from today. We have inflation, we have joblessness, we have homelessness, we have chaos across the world here. People can't afford to buy homes with the high rates and things of that nature. So we're going to talk a lot more about that as soon as we come back from the break. Folks, we're going to take a break to pay the bills here. This is Sam DeMarco, Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Be right back. Welcome back, folks. We're sitting here in studio talking with Keith Schmidt. And boy, we were just going over some of the news the past couple weeks here. Kamala Harris being anointed, not elected, but anointed, not even nominated, but anointed. The Democratic nominee, for president here. And, Keith, one of the things I was sharing, and I've been vocal about this on social media, is I don't want to hear another word from the quote-unquote defenders of democracy, okay, when they've completely subverted it here by forcing, the current president of the United States out and so that they could install Kamala Harris or someone else to run it. And you're going to be seeing, many of our listeners will be seeing more about this here because it seems like Nancy Pelosi's fingerprints are all over this. And now some of the folks in the Biden circle are starting to talk. Anita Dunn came out on Friday and talked about how angry they were because they thought that they had weathered the worst of the blowback from Biden's poor performance in the debate, only to have Pelosi and others bring it up and push it to the point where they forced him from the race. So, there could be some issues, rising up here that could become factors in that party over there, Keith.
Everybody gets a honeymoon period. Everyone gets a bump when something like this happens. It's clearly happened. But guys, you have to read the tea leaves too. I mean, again, are they just more excited that the president is out of the way as much as they're excited that she's been put in as his replacement? There is just a sigh of relief. They thought that they were going to be wiped out in Congress with him at the top of the thing. They're just they're living to fight another day. The establishment is definitely engaged now. I get all that, but that could be part of it. It could, the rest of this is it's propaganda. I mean, it's literally propaganda. I mean, when you use that kind of third world fascist mentality, I mean, guys, we know when she left the presidential race in 2000, she was pulling at 1%, not 7, not 10, not 50. She wasn't a populist. She left the race because she couldn't raise money and couldn't get beyond 1% of support around the country. So we were all surprised when she picked her, when he picked her as vice president 4 years ago. Now we're at a point where the last poll before she was named the nominee, she was pulling, her approval rating was 33% among Democrats. Don't tell me that somehow that all changes when you elevate her to this new position. It's propaganda. And let me tell you, unfortunately, the tools of propaganda are many. And in the 2024 world, the ability for social media and all these media outlets and these influencers to tell us something that just isn't so and repeat lies long enough and loud enough that they make it the truth in their own minds is what's happening right now. Because as I said before the break, when I was in Main Street, southwestern Pennsylvania, in Democratic Times, they're scratching their head. They're not necessarily buying this propaganda. I know what they're selling, but the dust will settle. I think we're going to get a little more educated about what she brings to the table. And I also agree with what you said last hour. It's time to do the comparisons. It's time. Listen, she's part of this administration. What the American people have to hear from Donald Trump is, if you want to turn the page and revert back, let me tell you what reverting back means. It means tax cuts on tips. It means he's talking about potentially not taxing Social Security. He's going to talk. I want to hear specifics on how he's going to close the border. Tell me more about your agenda for energy and energy independence. Tell me about the instability of in the world that and you're the 800-pound gorilla because you're the president and foreign policy is in your bailiwick. Tell us specifically what you're going to do. Give us a sense of a choice that if we make this choice to go back, this is what you're going to deliver on. Talk specifics, because I think those specifics the American people will embrace. On the inverse, the specifics are going to kill the other ticket, because when they talk specifics, I can tell you it's not going to sit well with the American people.
Well, Kamala Harris's website has no, folks, that is no, N-O, zero issues.
Is that right?
Listed on her website.
I've been on it.
Okay, yes,
no, not kidding.
And you know, and I think good. One of the problems in America too is how public education, you know, to a certain degree, unfortunately, it's a much larger degree than we'd like to have happen, has really contributed to the dumbing down of America. So, Keith, let's use an example here. You talked about inflation. Yep. What is the president going to do in regards to inflation? So the first thing he was asked, he said, I'm going to drill, baby, drill. Okay? Now, the average American isn't going to understand the impact, what the impact is on that is going to have on inflation. But if he has to make the connection, if he explains that, you know, energy costs are a key component in what's used to determine what the inflation rate is, about how the high cost of energy or high cost of gas, everything that you buy in a store is transported to the store by gas, you know, in a truck. So when you have to pay more to transport it, you're going to pay more to buy it. When you have to have every farmer that farms, farm machinery is powered by gas or diesel fuel. So the higher cost of gas equates to the higher cost of food. You know, when you're taking and doing all these things, the high cost of shipping when your fuel costs more. All these things contribute to the higher cost of goods. And unfortunately, I think some folks have to make almost like a connect the dots for people to understand. We talk about housing. You know, you'll hear a lot of folks talk about we need more affordable housing. Well, with the mortgage rates and the cost of housing today, houses is almost unaffordable for the middle class. And folks, so why does it cost so much? Well, one, inflation has taken increased the cost of building materials.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of fuel has increased the cost of transporting those building materials. The high interest rates mean you're paying more than double in interest than you were previously just 4 years ago. We did a thing on the show here last week, Keith. I talked about the median home price in Allegheny County as of June 2024 was $260,000. Okay.
$260,000.
Okay. So we took and compared it to the average mortgage, the average mortgage rate under Trump, which was like 2.84%.
Okay.
And we compared it to what the mortgage rates were, average mortgage rate under Biden, which was over 7. And the delta, this wasn't the payment price, this was the delta between the two, was $690, meaning that it cost you $690 more per month to buy the same house today than it would have 4 years ago.
Wow.
Okay? That's $8,280 a year. Who has that kind of money sitting around?
They don't. That's why people are using more credit than any time in American history.
I talked to someone yesterday. His son was going out to buy a car. He has excellent credit, but the interest rate on the car loan was over
8%. Wow. 8% on the car?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And how many times did we hear 0%
for
a year and then 1% after that? Well, I can tell you know, we were just talking about this. Americans are very impatient people. We tend to want instant satisfaction, instant results. You know, you send a text and somebody doesn't answer you, you get another text 10 minutes later. Hey, where are you, Sam? Like, yeah. It was 10 minutes ago. Just relax. I'm going to get to you. But all indications is that Americans are polling saying – this is a change election for them. They want change. Well, my goodness, I urge the Trump team, the strategy team, give them what they want. Give them that change. I think it would might be a perfect setup for, because you are changing administrations, and for him to be as specific as the contract with America. Tell us what you're going to do the first 100 days. Sign a pledge saying you return me to Pennsylvania Avenue. Here are the 10 things that you're going to vote for. I will, on day one, in the first 100 days, these are the things I'll send to Congress. This is what I'll do in the world. This is what I'll do on the border. I'm going to tell you, that's what they have no more patience. They want it done. They want to hear that someone's going to take action. They're tired of talking about these same tired issues year after year, nothing changing in their pocketbook. Nothing changes in pricing. He can do that. I'm telling you, the specifics will count. And I know that he has in his head what he wants to do. Why don't you put it on paper, and why don't you present it to the American people and let us know what change we can expect with a second Trump administration?
Well, and the president, to his credit, has mentioned a number of those things. He talked about, again, I talked about energy policy. He was going to unleash American energy on day one. He also talked about securing the southern border. You know, he was going to secure the border. He was going to take and build the wall again, okay, and do whatever was necessary. He was going to start to deport.
Right.
Deportation proceedings for a lot of these folks. But the media would rather cover something that he said. You know, he questioned whether Kamala Harris was black or not. Did he? All he was doing was questioning why she chose to emphasize her heritage, her Indian heritage at one time, over her Jamaican heritage. I mean, she's a biracial child of a Jamaican father and an Indian mother, okay? God bless her. But, you know, I saw something in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Friday. They reported Allegheny County's black community is all excited about Kamala Harris. And my question is, like why? You know, because,
right.
I mean, you folks are, you know, it was just a couple years ago, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette also reported that Allegheny County, or the Pittsburgh, you know, was the worst place for a black woman to live, based upon health of results and things of that nature. There's a lot of stuff that these folks should be worried about. And just taking and maintaining the status quo, in which there's so many things that ail our community, certainly isn't one of them.
Take a page out of the Clinton manual from 1992. It's the economy, stupid. Yep. I think those are the things, whether we know it or not, people vote their pocketbook. All those issues work for the Republicans. All those issues work for Trump. If you really are concerned about the national security comes into money too, because of the amount of money we're sending out of America when we could be using it here for manufacturing and for helping seniors and veterans and whatnot. We're sending billions abroad because of the instability in the world. We're giving billions of people that cross over illegally in our border. So national security does cost things. So the financial stuff, I'm telling you, They're lobs for us. We can hit these out of the park. We need to start educating the people that your financial security and energy independence and the fact that you can feel good about America will start on day one of a Trump administration. Change is coming, and change for the better. You know, I mean, you rattle off different things he said, but again, it sounds like one-liners. Put them together in a document.
Right.
Put it on the front page. Sign it in front of a rally saying, let me tell you about my first 100 days. Let me tell you the difference between me and Kamala Harris. These are the things that I will do on day one, and these bills will arrive in the Congress's hands within the first 100 days. You will see change. I know that's what you want. I hear you, and I've responded. That's what I hope happens.
Well, I hope his advisors are listening to this show, and they're hearing you, because I agree we got to do something. But, hey, you know, now I want to pivot here. This past Tuesday, the Harris campaign, they picked Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate. And I was very happy with that pick. And I say happy because the only difference, well, you and I go back 16 months saying we didn't think Biden was going to be the nominee. I thought that it was Josh Shapiro because it made too much sense, being the popular governor of a critical swing state. Okay, so I was thrilled when she didn't pick Josh. But this guy, Walz, you know, the Democrats made a big show of talking about how the rollout of Trump's selection of J.D. Vance was a mess. Boy, has this guy Walz stepped in it. Now, as a veteran, I can tell you that these attacks that people were seeing on him, they're not attacking his service. They're attacking his lying about his service. No different than if you claim to have a degree from a university that you did not have, or that you claim to have had a position in a company that you did not have. It's his resume that he's put forward as the basis for him running for office or being qualified for a job that's being attacked, not the service, okay? But it goes way beyond that, because this is a mess. You know, having claimed that he was a command sergeant major, Keith, you know, when he was not, he was frocked. And a lot of folks don't understand what that means, but when he decided to retire instead of going to Iraq with his troops, he had not completed the requirements necessary in order to be able to hold that rank. So he was retired as a master sergeant, which is an EH. So he was not a command sergeant major, despite him saying he was. He talked about being in Operation Enduring Freedom. He was not. You know, he was deployed to Italy, okay, not Afghanistan. He talked about carrying in a rant where he railed for an assault weapons ban. He talked about not being able to carry weapons of war that he carried into war. Well, as J.D. Vance has called him out, you know, at no time was he ever in, you know, war. So these are the things that are being attacked. But Keith, it gets so much worse.
Worse?
On Friday, they reported,
that's pretty bad.
Washington Examiner reporter Game Kaminsky gives another couple insights into the Kamala Harris campaign and the terrible job she did vetting this guy, okay? So Tim Walz, folks, besides I talked about the military thing, again, as governor of Minnesota, this is a guy that let Minneapolis burn, you know, 3 full nights of the George Floyd riots without calling out the National Guard, you know, calling for the evacuation of an entire police precinct, which resulted in it being burned amongst 1,500 buildings and businesses, costing $500 million in damage. This is what this guy did there. During the COVID shutdowns, he instituted a snitch line. Yes, he wanted you to call and complain or to tell on your neighbors, anybody that left the house or played basketball outside or whatever it was. I mean, this guy, it just gets much, much worse. The Washington Examiner's reporting that he repeatedly hosted a Muslim cleric who praises Hitler, as well as including this guy in his 2019 state address. And this guy, Assad Zaman of the Muslim American Society of Minnesota, has also recently praised the October 7th massacre and atrocities as a legitimate expression of Palestinian grievances. You know, and they go into all these different things. I mean, this guy joined other Muslim leaders in May 2023 for a meeting at Mount Mosque security with Walz's gubernatorial office, spoke at a May 2020 event to call for peaceful protest with the governor in April 2019, delivered an invocation before Walz's state address just months after Zaman called for an end to government shutdown at a press conference with Walz in January 2019. In other words, the ties between Walz and Zaman are not just a coincidence of scheduling. He appears to be one of Walz's go-to figures when he wants a Muslim perspective, which of course matters in a state with a significant Muslim population. But again, you know, they're fond of talking about Hitler, and here's a guy that praises him and praises the atrocities committed on October 7th as part of this. It's like they didn't even bother to do a job, any type of job, vetting this guy.
Well, you doubled down here and just you named multiple examples of propaganda. I mean, that's what's happening. I mean, they're basically making it up as they go to fit their narrative. I used that word before the break, and now you've given, you know, 5 examples of already in this short-lived candidacy for vice president where they've either exaggerated the truth or outright lied about the truth, and they're selling it on social media as the truth, and the media is backing them up. Well, that, again, it's on us to educate people on the truth. And you know, when you look at her pick here, I can tell you, there's no way that she didn't know about Tim Walz's progressive agenda. And quite frankly, as I said, a successful, in a microcosm in Minnesota, a successful governor to literally implement and pass a socialist agenda. And I would liken that to Obama back in 08 when he tapped Joe Biden, because he was a short-term senator. He needed someone to understand how the sausage is made and to implement his agenda, and he turned to somebody who was in the Senate
for
over 30-some years.
Yeah,
Turned to him saying, listen, I need your help because you know this. Well, let me tell you, what she is weak on, she was a very short-term senator, Kamala Harris. She doesn't understand the legislative process, and she looks at him who put a progressive agenda through a legislature. She knows how to make the sausage and how to hoodwink an electorate in convincing them that a progressive agenda is right for them. She liked that when she saw this. I'm telling you, be careful. They're doubling down.
She doesn't. She wants to fundamentally change the course of the United States and implement an agenda that has failed at every turn in the last 5 years as they've seen victories around the country in urban America. This is not a success. This will not be something that's good for America.
But that's what's terrifying, because he was able to do that with a compliant press.
Oh, 100%.
In Minnesota. The complaints that are coming out from the folks who are bringing many of these things that he did to light are that, you know, these things have been raised in the past, but they've been covered over by a compliant Minnesota media. And we see that same thing here taking place with the mainstream media. And listen, hey, folks, you know, I used to shrug, I guess, when people would talk about Joe Biden, his administration being the third term of Barack Obama.
Right.
But Barack Obama's hands are all over this, his fingerprints. I mean, he has a number of top figures that were in his administration, his campaign, that have now parachuted into the Kamala Harris campaign.
I'm sure.
And they are the ones steering this thing. And this, everybody should be frightened. And you know what, though, Keith? I think when I look at this, it also helps me understand the fear they have for President Trump.
Sure.
Because he's not somebody that can be controlled. He's somebody that wants to, you know, lift the curtain on what's going on here. And they don't want to have that happen.
As we talk about vice presidents, I want to pivot back to the very beginning of your conversation just briefly. My crystal ball was good on Governor Shapiro as well. I wish I could pick lottery numbers, but I can't. But I said in every media outlet that I was on that although he was the front runner, I really believed in the end he would not be picked, largely because in our lifetime, the Middle East has always been hot. But it's on fire right now.
Right.
And I thought that would be a real difficult time to put a Jewish American on a ticket, especially when their base is divided in urban American and colleges with the Palestinian situation and them finding an article about him not favoring a two-state solution. I thought that controversy could get ugly at rallies and at functions. And quite frankly, if I'm Josh Shapiro, this is one of those things that he might be a little bit happy the call didn't come.
Exactly.
You know, really, he'll be a six-year governor, 4 years from now, likely. And he sees the tea leaves where when the dust settles, it will likely be Trump. And then that's an open seat. And all of a sudden, we all know he has ambition, but doesn't have ambition to be vice president.
Right.
He wants to be president, and he'd probably prefer to wait till 2028.
I read some articles in the wake of that. And it seems like part of the issue had been they reported that Josh Shapiro didn't feel comfortable with the way his interview had gone and called the Harris folks back Sunday night and said, hey, he just wished some things might have been a little bit different. He was uncomfortable with it. And he was questioning his decision, talking about, hey, I have a lot of stuff I want to accomplish in Pennsylvania. But what came out of there was that he was the only one that seemed to be asking her questions. The Harris people had asked him, one of the questions they were asking the folks they invited in for interviews were how comfortable you were being, not just a partner, but almost like a hybrid, like a staffer. And it was like, wait a minute, you know? So Shapiro supposedly was questioning, well, just what rooms am I going to be in?
Right.
Or what types of decisions am I going to be the last one in the room, you know, making with you? Right? And I think that may have made him.
Well, you know what Harry Truman said about the vice presidency. And say what you will about Josh Shapiro, he's the chief executive of the fifth largest state in the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's not, sometimes I don't even think that's a lateral move. To a degree, he almost think that might be a step down based on the power that he holds sway with here in the Commonwealth. So that's an interesting. I did not hear what that story you just told. Yeah. That's a fascinating
story.
Politico. Is that right? It was in Politico. I don't always read Politico.
I'll send you the link when I get it.
Please do, because that's an interesting story about his interview.
So yeah, so we got this problem. We got this with Waltz. And now where do we go from here? Okay. So she's not doing any interviews. She's not talking to the press. So J.D. Vance, when he lands up in Wisconsin the other day, he's on the same tarmac as the vice president. So he decides, he pulls a bold move. And he just marches right over to her plane to talk to the press. Oh, yeah. You didn't see that, Keith?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been spending too much time at the pole, apparently.
My friend, it's yes. So
He walked over to the plane.
Oh, her plane's there. He walked over to the press pole there, right. And her convoy was behind them, right? So, but he talks to the press. He said, I just came over to see my plane. Hopefully, it's going to be mine in a few months. And then he told the press, he said, I also thought you guys might be a little lonely.
Oh, wow.
Since the vice president's not talking to you or talking, giving you answers to questions,
right?
So then it comes out that she does talk to the press, but everything is off the record. you know, on her press pool. I mean, it's like, you know, when are these people going to do their job?
Right. I mean, listen, if they're both products, I'm not panicking whatsoever. As I said, I understand the bump. I understand the honeymoon. But I'm very confident with everything we know about the former president and everything we know about the current vice president. If that is crystal clear in November, if we know the truth, not the spin, if the truth comes out about what she represents and the direction she wants to take this country and what Trump represents and the direction he'd want to take in the second term, I have confidence the American people will make the right decision. I really do. I'm not panicking at all. I understand what's going on with the Democratic Convention and a historic moment. Never has it as a president stood down from a nomination this late in the game. It's all uncharted territory. So I understand where we are, but we have almost 100 days, and I am confident that when the assessment is done, an honest assessment of the candidates and the direction they plan to take this country, the Republicans are going to fare well on November.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Keith. Now, hey,
in November,
folks, if you are listening to this and you're tired of being lied to, I know that the most frustrating thing for me that angers me is when folks lie to me, and we've been lied to for the past number of years about President Biden's condition, and now we're being lied to about the plans that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have for this country. If you are tired of being lied to, if you are tired of the status quo and you want to affect change, I urge you to go to our website at Allegheny.gop. That's Allegheny.gop, or call the office at 412-458-0068. That's 412-458-0068, and volunteer to help elect President Donald Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, U.S. Senator Dave McCormick, and candidates both up and down the aisle. So, folks, as always, when we start talking, Keith, we get going, man. Time seems to fly by.
No kidding. We're done.
We're done, my friend.
Well, I'm coming back. I'm telling you.
Well, we're going to
see you in a month.
We're looking forward to it. Folks, until next week, this is Sam DeMarco from The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great weekend.